The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
This week, we have the great pleasure and honor to interview Jason Stewart, an actor, a comedian, and a gay advocate. And his latest film, The Birth of a Nation, directed by Nate Parker, is out tomorrow.
We met Jason a few years ago on the set of the movie Love is Strange, directed by Ira Sachs, which is actually where Aurélie and I met as well. Jason played the priest who married Fred, Alfred Molina, and George, John Lithgow. Last May, Jason kindly accepted to be our guest. He's talking openly today about his journey as an actor, as a gay man, and his reinvention.
Jason, could you introduce yourself and in a few words tell us about you?
Yeah, I've been an actor and comedian since probably Donna Summer was on the radio. Since I was a baby boy, I started doing school plays, and then I got my first acting job when I was 19 years old professionally. I started pursuing when I was 16. I started studying when I was 14. I started stand-up comedy when I was 24. And then when I was 34, I came out on TV, on the Geraldo Show, in an episode called Unconventional Comedians. And so I've been out around 20-something years, but I've been in the business almost 30, 40 years.
And you're here today in New York?
I'm in New York, yeah.
But usually you live in...
I live in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. Are you from there?
I was born here in New York, but I was raised in Los Angeles since I was a baby boy.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, your family, where you're from?
Let's see. We left here when I was a little kid in a car. We drove across country. I was very short, and I had no choice. Otherwise, I would have stayed longer. I grew up in a family. My father was in the Holocaust, but not the camps, the ghettos, sort of like in the movie The Pianist. My mother was very poor, from Brooklyn. They got married when I was very, very young. When they were very young, rather. We were all very young, honestly. My mom was 17. My parents stayed married for around 20-something years. I started pursuing acting as a kid because it was a way that I could be funny. And I remember seeing people like... who really influenced me? I would think like Joan Rivers on TV and Barbara Streisand, and Dustin Hoffman was always my favorite actor, still is. And I would see people that were different, you know, and I thought, oh, they're sort of like me. It's funny, all Jewish people, huh? Because growing up in a family of Jewish people, you were always looking for people to see where your identity was, because there wasn't a lot of Jewish people in movies and television in those days that said they were Jewish, so you really didn't know until they said it. And I found that I, as a kid, being a gay kid, I was very bullied quite a bit, and physically abused and mentally abused all through school. So being funny was a way to deter it. And I remember seeing the movie Funny Girl, where Barbara Streisand's character, Fanny Brice, says, you know, how did she say it exactly? She said, I make the jokes, you know, so they're not laughing at me, they're laughing with me. And I remember thinking about that, and that sort of changed the trajectory of my life, that movie, when I saw it. I saw it at the Pan Pacific Theater. I remember I drove my Schwinn, olive color Schwinn banana Stingray bike there, and saw that movie, and it sort of changed my life.
Bullying is quite common, especially for gay boys. In a previous episode, we mentioned that even as society has become more accepting of homosexuality overall, long-standing research has shown that gay men are significantly more likely to be targets of violence.
As many as 93% of teenagers hear derogatory words about sexual orientation at least, quote, once in a while, with more than half of teens surveyed hearing such words every day at school and in their communities. 78% of gay or believed to be gay teens are teased or bullied in their schools and communities, a percentage significantly higher than that for heterosexual youth. LGBTQ students are 2 to 3 times as likely to commit suicide as heterosexual students and may account for a startling 30% of all completed youth suicides.
Jason became a comedian and an actor using humor to survive and not feel limited. He explains to us the influence that his latest film, The Birth of a Nation, had on him.
And then this year, I was lucky enough to get a part in a film called The Birth of a Nation, based on the life of black abolitionist Nat Turner, and I play Joseph Randall, and I have 7 or 8 scenes, and I play a white heterosexual plantation owner in 1831. Now, the odds of someone like me getting that part is like winning the lottery. And we went to Sundance with that, and it was a completely different experience because I was so included, because my part is involved in the plot of the film, and I'm part of the reason the rebellion for Nat Turner started. So to be so included and so treated much as an artist, it really changed the trajectory of my life. And now I'm in a place that I've never been before. So we'll see what happens. People have always thought of me as limited. I mean, people will say, even 6 months ago, a very, very big casting director said to my agent that there is no way that Jason Stewart could ever play a straight person. So the war is not over.
Definitely not.
In terms of, and by doing this film, which is about black abolitionist Nat Turner, and seeing the beginning of Black Lives Matter, and seeing what's happened in the last 2 years with the smartphones and the iPhones, and the way everything has been photographed and videotaped, and seeing everything is so omnipresent, and seeing what's going on in the world with people, and you know, the way the Trump campaign, the violence of it, the way Donald Trump and Ted Cruz speak to each other, and the just seeing the trajectory of where our lives have gone in the last number of years, I'm in a different place in my life of wanting to live my life in a different way. Yeah. Against that way, certainly.
The Birth of a Nation is an American period drama film based on the story of Nat Turner, the enslaved man who led a slave rebellion in Southampton County, Virginia, in 1831. The film premiered in competition at the 2016 Sundance Film Festival last January and got a lot of buzz after Fox Searchlight Pictures bought worldwide rights to the film in a $17.5 million deal, the largest deal at the film festival to date. The film received the Audience Award and Grand Jury Prize in the U.S. Dramatic Competition and was highly praised for its directing, acting, soundtrack, and cinematography.
It's not just the narrative told by the period drama, but the narrative about the film itself that is causing such a stir. A well-liked young actor, Nate Parker, was making his writing-directing debut and acclaimed at Sundance and was celebrated for bringing a powerful and underrepresented black story and cast that inspired the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite campaign. This story of courage, perseverance, and social conscience is a great story for marketers and surely part of the reason that Fox Searchlight Pictures decided to pay a record-breaking $17.5 million for the film.
But now the story has changed as Parker has sought to answer questions surrounding a sexual assault he and his co-writer were accused of perpetrating while both were sophomores at Penn State in 1999. Reactions came both ways. Gabrielle Union, the lead actress and herself victim of rape, said that she could not see and take these allegations lightly, while another co-star, Penelope Ann Miller, said to his defense, "This isn't the Nate Parker story. This is the Nat Turner story."
From Woody Allen, Roman Polanski to Bill Cosby, the controversy is not new. It reopens the perpetual debate about whether and how to separate the art from the artist. After weeks of conversation inside and outside the industry, theater owners decided to proceed with plans to screen Birth of a Nation.
We mentioned that The Birth of a Nation inspired the Oscar So White campaign. Let's hear what Jason has to say about inequality in the film business.
There was one thing you think should really change in regard to how people are treated or equality.
Well, it would be nice if people were treated, you know, on their work in my profession, but we're not. It's who you are first, and your work is second. You can be a beautiful young man or woman and get a job with very little experience in a major motion picture just because somebody wants to have sex with you. So, and it doesn't matter. So, it's the only profession that I can think of that's that blatant about it. Most others are not as blatant. But maybe they are, and I'm just ignorant.
And do you feel in that perspective that as homosexual, like, you are treated like women are treated in this industry? Do you feel like part of the same?
I think it's white, heterosexual, Christian men are get to do everything and they are never questioned, and the rest of us have to wait in line. It's not just women, it's every minority. It's we're all, it's like everybody's trying to eat the same piece of pie. Whereas the white heterosexual Christian man gets his own pie, it's heated, it's hot, tastes great, and we all have to share a piece of pie that's been eaten or cast aside. There is no equality in our business. You know, everyone's hungry, and a lot of people are starving, and a lot of people have not had the education or the tenacity or the showing up. That's the word I use. It's so hard to show up all the time. It's so hard.
So how do you show up?
I get up every day and I create my career. I call people, I email people, I work on my act, I write pieces. I hired a publicist for this film to change the my staying power in the industry, and you try to reinvent yourself constantly.
And going back to the how it's hard to show up, like, how do you think things could change for the big minority majority who doesn't have access to the big
money? Well, look what happened to the Oscars So White this year. So Chris Rock got on stage and said, well, DiCaprio is going to win tonight. Is it going to change his career? No. Every year he gets to play another great part. He's white, he's heterosexual, he's Christian looking. Every year he gets to do that. Then he said, well, Jamie Foxx, when is he going to give Jamie Foxx one of those parts? It doesn't happen that way. Women lose their roles after 40 or 50, and they don't, you know. I have a very dear friend who was a very big star on television and film, and she can't get arrested now. You know, that's what happens. It's not about one group of people. It's about all of us.
So how do we do that?
Well, the thing is that we don't stand up for ourselves and we don't support ourselves in the same way that heterosexual men do. Gay men do not come in droves to see gay men. Whereas black people come to see black people, Latin people come to see Latin people, Middle Eastern people come to see women come to see women, Jews come to see Jews. You know, gay men do not do that. They go to see women, drag queens and straight girls. And there's nothing wrong with drag queens and straight girls. You go on a cruise of gay men, you're not going to see always a gay man in your entertainment. You'll see 50% men, 50% women. You go on a woman's cruise, you're never going to see anybody but a woman. So I think that tells all.
And if there is one thing you could do now, like, to change or for yourself or to help somebody else to be part of, to move forward, what would it be, a concrete thing?
In terms of what? Job?
In terms of job, no. Or like to feel, to empower yourself or to empower another person, to have access to?
Watch what straight people do, straight men do, and act like them.
So that's what you do right now?
That's because I don't have that ability. I think about everything before I do it. Whereas straight men don't think about it. They just take it. I think, should I, am I doing this? Am I acting this way? Am I doing this? You know, we think about, is this my, you know, my place? You will go into any comedy club in the country and you will basically see a man headlining the show. You will go into any, what they call showcase clubs, which usually in the bigger cities like Los Angeles and New York, and you will maybe see one woman on the bill and the rest men. You will watch most television stars men in TV shows. It's the white man, the beautiful girl, the intelligent black guy, the Asian guy is a smaller part, the Latin guy who's funny, and maybe a gay man. Never, very rarely a gay woman. If it's a gay woman, she's breathtakingly beautiful and bisexual. And if it's a movie, you know the Asian guy's going to die first. The black guy's going to fight it off. The older woman's going to die. And the skinny white people, straight, you know, get to live like in the Hunger Games.
And the Arab person is a terrorist, right?
Oh, yes, always. If they're even there. It's there's a certain, you know, there's a certain combination that they constantly do. You know, finally television in the last, I think, 10 years has caught up, and there's a lot of women starring in things, mostly white women.
And when I say the word feminism to you, what comes to your mind?
Equality. It's an adjective for saying that we're equal, but in a sense, the fact that we have to say it says that we're still not. You know, I consider myself, see, people say you're an activist. I guess so, but I think of myself more as an advocate. I like that word. I like people said, you go place a network at parties. I said, no, I go and I try to meet people that are interesting and creative and become a part of it. Because it's not a natural inclination for me to do that. As a gay person, my natural inclination is to stay home and hide from the wreckage of my past.
And so do you still feel this way, that you weren't too high?
Always. That's my natural inclination.
Is it a good thing or a bad
thing? Oh, I wish. No, it isn't a good thing. I don't want to do that. But it's my natural inclination. But I call it first thought. It doesn't mean anything. It just goes in my head and goes out.
So every day you're like, I need to...
Oh, yeah. And that's... And I need to start showing up.
Is it becoming easier and easier when you do
Sometimes. And sometimes it's frightening. There's always fear. Fear is the hardest thing to get past. Having to prove yourself always. Yeah, some people don't have it. I've always had it.
What is your biggest fear?
Failure, I would guess.
Failure in what?
Not being able to be my best. Not being able to show up when I have to show up. Not being able to be able to change on a dime. I used to think I had to know everything. You know, and realizing, you know, to ask questions and find my way in. I wish that wasn't a part of who I am, but it is.
We're going to take a little break, and in the meantime, we'll leave you with one of Jason's power songs, Stay Gold by Stevie Wonder from movie The Outsiders.
Seize upon the moment long ago. One breath away and there you will be, so young and carefree. Again you will see that place in time, so gold still. Away into that way back when you thought that all would last forever, but like the weather, nothing can ever time stay gold. But can it be when we can see so vividly a memory? And yes, you say so must the day. Twinkling of an eye, yet filled with sorrow and compassion, though not imagined. All things that happen will age too old, though gold.
Listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. Having to prove yourself always, Jason is now opening a new chapter in his life and has a long list to thank for.
So if you had one person you would like to say thank you to, who would that be?
Oh. For what?
For being who you are. Wait.
Oh my God, it's a long list. There isn't one. I mean, you certainly your parents, because they brought you into this world. And for my mother taught me how to be funny and sexy. And my father taught me how to take care of myself. And he always used to say to me, you know, when you go to a job, wear a tie. And I didn't know what he really meant until years later. What he meant was show up and be your best self, you know. And that's what I've tried to do. I haven't always, you know, worked. I failed, believe me, at times. But be your best self. And that's what he taught me, and how to take care of myself.
And be your best self, that's something I will remember. Do you consider yourself self today? Or do you feel like you're still compartmented, like...
No, I'm all myself now, but, you know, I still think about things. You know, on the first week of Birth of a Nation, and this seems so insane, is that I kept thinking, oh, they're going to fire me when they find out I'm gay. And, or they're going to see something happen that's going to make them think that I won't be able to do the part. And I was so worried about that in my mind, and it was so completely unreal and all in my head, and just so... I mean, there's the internet. It's not like they... I am sure that Nate, being an incredibly detailed filmmaker, did due diligence and looked me up and knew what I did. And then as I become more involved in the release of the film and the PR for the film, I realize that who I am is the reason I'm in this movie. It's because I am an advocate and an activist. And he is also. And then I get a call from my agent in New Orleans saying, not even my agent, the agent's assistant. She goes, how's your day going? I said, it's going fine. She said, well, it's about to get better. You got the part. And I said, what part? And she said, the plantation owner. And I said, don't kid me. And I just broke down and started to cry. I was so, even now I think about it, I was so overwhelmed. You know, just that it had happened, that I got a part of this, with this kind of a part. And I didn't even know how big this film was going to be then. And I was in another film a couple years before called Dirty, I played a bartender, a real asshole bartender. And Roger Denver Smith was the lead of the film. People know him from all the Spike Lee movies he's been in. And we had become friendly, and I called him, and I said, hey, I'm going for the callback for this film. Can you put in a word for me? And when I got the part, I remember calling Roger and saying, hey, thank you for putting a word in for me. I got the part. And he said, he sent me an email and said, oh, shit, man, I knew you had it. I just couldn't tell you. And he let me know that I was basically their first choice. And they just wanted to meet me, I think, to see if I could take direction, and I wasn't crazy. And it was just, and then I cried again, because it was just like, wow, I got the part for my work, for my body of work, of who I am and where I've, you know, what I've done. And it was like, man, that's just, it's fine to get a part because someone likes you or they work with you before. That's always nice too. But there's something really special about somebody seeing you for the first time and getting the part. That's the hardest way to get, without all the other accoutrements involved in it, you know.
So I got the feeling that this film is kind of really the beginning of yourself as well. Like,
well, it's a, you know, it's a new, it's another chapter. It's a new chapter that I didn't think I was going to have.
How would you call that chapter?
The reinvention.
Reinvention. A new chapter that I didn't think I was going to have. Well, that's something I wish to everyone. And my dear Jason, I wish you the best on this new chapter. And I can't wait to watch you in bigger and bigger roles to play gay and straight parts and anyone you want. Because this is every actor's dream.
You've been listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can like us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Womanity Project. You can support us and sponsor us on our page, radiofreebrooklyn.com/show/the-womanity-project. Special thanks to Jason Stewart, Lizzie Hagstedt, and of course, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And dear listeners, we're ending the show with one of Jason's other power songs, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Au revoir tout le monde!
À la semaine prochaine! Bye!
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A son's disregard.